Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Ayin. We are continuing with a discussion concerning the Kohen Gadol and the Parshios from the Torah that he reads on Yom Kippur. The previous discussion with which we ended our last shiur involved his reading from the Parsha of Achrimos and Emor in Sefer Vayikra and skipping to read from Sefer Bamidbar, which is the point at which we will pick up now. The Golel Sefer Torah, he, after reading the Parshios in Sefer Vayikra, namely Achrimos and the section dealing with Yom Kippur from Parshas Emor, he would then roll-closed the Sefer Torah, V'omer Yoyser Mima Shikorosi Lifnechem Kosov Kan, more than I have read from the Sefer Torah is written. In other words, there's more written here than that which I read from the Sefer Torah itself. And as we know, he is going to continue reciting psukim from the Torah, but when he does, it will be orally, without the text of the scroll open in front of him. He announces, as we just saw, that there is more written here than that which I have read. The Chol Kach Loma, the Gemara asks, why was there the need for this amount, for this announcement, namely, more than that which I read is in fact written here? Kedei, the Gemara answers, in order Shelo Lo Yotzi Laz Al Sefer Torah, so people should not speak ill of the Sefer Torah. In other words, when they see him reciting the third section, namely from Parshas Bamidbar, from Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Pinchas, which is toward the end of Sefer Bamidbar, they shouldn't think that the reason he closed the Sefer Torah is because it's missing that Parsha. So he announces, have no fear, the Sefer Torah that I have read from has everything written in it. Just that which I'm going to be reading now from Sefer Bamidbar, I'm not going to be reading from the Sefer Torah itself. I'm going to read it by heart. We continue in the Gemara. Be'osor shochum ha-shapikudim koral peh. That's a reference to the Es-Osor is the 10th of Tishrei, namely Yom Kippur, the date of Yom Kippur, and the korbonos that are offered on that day, specifically the korban musafim that are offered, are from Chumash HaPikudim. That's another name for Sefer Bamidbar. He reads orally. The Gemara, before we continue, we have an introduction on the side, the Nosei, Hezber Lanhoga Sakhain Gorol, the Krias HaParsha. We're going to be explaining the behavior of the Kohen Gadol in his reading of the Parsha. Chelek mitoch haksav, chelek alper, part was from the written portion, and the rest, the balance, he read orally. We are going to encounter a new marking. We have a trapezoid form, and under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, on the side we've written Hatzois, suggestions, kidei shiikra hakol mitoch haksav. Why doesn't he read everything from the written open scroll? So the Gemara asks, Amai, why does he read the section from Bamidbar Alpeh? Why does he read it orally? Niglol Vinikri, why doesn't he just roll the scroll and read from that later portion? Answer, Omar of Hunabred Rav Yeshua, Omar of Sheshes, Lefi She'en Gulilin Sefer Torah B'tzibor B'pnei Kvod Tzibor. Because of the restriction from rolling the scroll, in other words, if you are holding in Sefer Vayikra, and you have to get to the end of Sefer Bamidbar, so you have to roll the scroll a number of columns of writing in order to get to the necessary location. In order to do that, so you'll have a situation where the rolling will take place, and the assembly, the tzibur, the congregation will be waiting, doing nothing, waiting for you to roll it. That is lack of honor to the public, to keep them waiting like that, waiting in silence with nothing to do. The Gemara asks, V'naisi achrina v'nikri, why not bring another Sefer Torah that's already positioned at the Bamidbar section, so that you'll have the Kohen Gadol reading from Vayikra in the first Sefer Torah and reading from Bamidbar in the second Sefer Torah. So we answer, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Omar, Mishum Pegomoi Shel Rishon. If you were to bring a second Sefer Torah, that would give rise to the thought that maybe the first one is lacking. So it's a type of bad name that will be cast upon the first Sefer Torah. And that's why they're bringing a second one. That, again, is in the eyes of some of the public. That's what might be. So we want to avoid that. We want to avoid the pagam, the denigration of the first Sefer Torah. V'reish Lakish Amar Mishum Brocha Sheino Tzricha. Because if you were to open a second Sefer Torah, that would necessitate another bracha to be made. As most of you are quite familiar, when a person is reading from the Torah, he first recites a bracha for that. If he's going to bring a second Sefer Torah, so he's going to have to make a second bracha, and that's considered an unnecessary bracha when, in theory, everything could have been done from the first Sefer Torah. The Gemara asks, as far as the first explanation, Rav Huna's explanation, we ask a question, lasts a few lines, Umi chayshinun lepgoma, are we concerned with what people might think in this context, that by seeing a second Sefer Torah, people are going to think that the first one was lacking. The Omer of Yitzchok Nafcho, Rav Yitzchok has the following teaching, Rosh Chodesh Teves Shechalios B'Shabbos. When the beginning of the month of Teves, which comes out in the middle of the holiday of Hanukkah, so when the first day of Teves falls out on a Shabbos, Mevi'in Shalosh Torah V'Korin, we bring forth three Torah scrolls, and we read Achas Binyano Shiyom. One would be what we call Parshas HaShavua, the weekly portion, the Achas Shel Rosh Chodesh. The other one is a portion from, say, a Parshas Pinchas that deals with Rosh Chodesh, the Achas Shel Chanukah, and the third Sefer Torah, from which we read the Chanukah section, which shows us that we don't hesitate to bring forth three Sifrei Torah. Is there not the problem of seeing any Sefer Torah after the first one? People will think that the first one was lacking, yet that doesn't seem to bother us. The Gemara answers, there is no reason for pagam in that case. Tlosa gavri b'tlosa sifri lek pagoma. When you have three different people called up, each one to a different Sefer Torah, which is the case on Rosh Chodesh Teves, falling out on a Shabbos, so there is no grounds of pagam. Each one is viewed as a separate entity. However, chad gavro betray sifri, one person reading from two Sifrei Torah, which is the case with a Kohen Gadol, which would be the case with the Kohen Gadol, who would be reading from Sefer Vayikra and then a second Sefer Torah from Sefer Bamidbar, and it's the same person, Ikar Pagama. That would be grounds for people to think ill or to think negatively concerning the first Sefer Torah, namely that it must have been lacking. The Mishnah also mentions Umavarech Oleo Shmoina Brachos. There is the recitation of eight brachos that he makes in the context of the Parsha. The Brisa here lists off eight brachas. And truth be told, there is a slight difference between what the counting of the brachas that you see here and that which was seen in the Mishnah. That itself is something that is the focus of attention on the part of some of the commentaries. Tonu Rabbonan. So the list of brachas are Al HaTorah, Kederach Shemavorchim BeBeis HaKnesses, the bracha over the Torah as we are accustomed to when reading in a synagogue, Al HaAvodah, bracha over the service of the Beis HaMikdash, which is we know as Ritzei, that we say in the Shemona Esrei, Val HaOidah, which would correspond to what we refer to as the bracha of Moedim, the Al Mechila Sa'avon Ketikna, and a bracha that is Yom Kippur related regarding the fact that Yom Kippur is a day of sin atonement, the Al HaMikdash Bifnei Atzmo, and a bracha concerning the Beis HaMikdash, the Al HaKoyhanim Bifnei Atzmo, and a bracha concerning the Koyhanim, the Al Yisrael Bifnei Atzmo, likewise a bracha concerning the nation of Israel, the Al Sha'ar Tfilah. Now regarding this eighth point, Al Sha'ar Tfilah, we continue in the next source, Tan Rabbanon Ushar Tfilah. The meaning of that, the rest of the Tfilah, here is a text. Rina Tchina Bakosho Milfonecha. Rina is an expression of joy. Tchina is a beseeching, and likewise Bakosha. We request from the Almighty, Al Amcho Yisrael Shetzrichim Livosha, that the nation of Israel needs salvation, v'choseim, and the closing bracha is v'choseim b'shomei atfila. The closing would be Baruch Ato Hashem shomei atfila v'achakach, and after that kol echad v'echad mevi sefer Torah mibeso. All the assembled would bring private personal Torah scrolls from their houses, v'korei bo, and read from them, kedei laharois chazuso l'rabim, so as to show the appearance of their Sifrei Torah to the public, to the rest. Rashi says, Laharos Chazus L'Rabim, Laharos Noyo Shel Sefer Torah, to show the beauty of their Sefer Torah, V'tif Eres Baleha, and the honor, the glory of its owner, Shetorach L'Isnois B'Mitzvah, that he trouble himself to produce a nice Sefer Torah, a nice mitzvah, Shenemar, Zeh Keli V'Anveu, as the Pasuk says, regarding the Almighty, a proclamation in the Shiras Hayam, as this is my Lord, and I shall glorify Him. And from this we learn His snoye lefon of mitzvahs, to appear in beauty in the context of mitzvahs. And examples: lulav noe, sefer Torah noe, a nice looking lulav that one takes on Sukkot, a nice looking sefer Torah which is made of beklaf noe, nice parchment, bedyono, a fine quality ink, belabler umon, and a professional scribe. Umei erev yom hakipurim hevim shom. Rashi maintains that the public had brought their personal sefer Torahs to the Beis Hamikdash from erev yom tov, erev yom kippur. That itself, it opens up a discussion of why couldn't they have brought them on yom kippur proper, and that we'll leave aside for now. The Gemara continues, Haroya Kohen Gadol v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned that he who saw the Kohen Gadol while reading the Parsha would not be able to see the burning of the Chatois Hanisrofin, the burning of the Par V'Soyer carcasses, which took place outside of Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah went on to say, Lo mitnei sheino rashoi, not because one is forbidden to leave one to go to see the other, but rather because of a practical consideration, it was too far away to go from one to the other, because these two took place at the same time, the Kohen Gadol reading the Parsha and the burning of the carcasses took place at the same time. You wouldn't have time to get from one to the other. So the Gemara says, Pshita. It's very clear. In other words, of course, of course one would be allowed. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah said, not because one is not allowed, in the meaning of that one would have been allowed, except for the technical consideration. So we're asking, is that not obvious? And in other terms, if it would have been possible, so he would have been able to go from one to the other. You know, he would have left one. Imagine they were next door to one another. So, according to the Mishnah, he would be able to leave the one, whether it's if he started by the Kohen Gadol, leave that and go to watch the burning of the carcasses or vice versa. So, isn't that obvious? The Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Ma'udetemo kidereish lokish. I might have thought, in lines of that which Reish Lakish teaches, the Omer Reish Lakish, Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvos, Reish Lakish teaches a principle that if you are involved with one mitzvah, or you're close to doing one mitzvah, you can't pass it up to do another mitzvah. Umay mitzvah, and what's the mitzvah over here? Baroiv Am Hadras Melech, that in the multitudes is the glory of the king. Meaning, if you are present, you're part of a group of people that are present for the fulfillment of one of these mitzvahs, so I would have thought that you can't leave that to go to the other. Komash Malon, our Mishnah reveals to us that since you are not involved in the actual performance of the mitzvah, but rather you are someone watching it, then this issue of Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos does not apply. And you could have, you would have been allowed to go from one to the other had they not been so distant from one another. We continue with the new Mishnah. And in order to appreciate the Mishnah and the coming Sugya, there is a certain amount of background that would one would benefit from knowing ahead of time. We highly recommend, if you have access to the very famous work known as Mishnayos Mevu'arois, a wonderful commentary on the Mishnayos, and by all means we recommend getting a hold of that work and looking at his introduction to this Mishnah. And when we say the introduction to this Mishnah, we also want to draw your attention to the summary that he provides at the conclusion of what appears in the Mishnayos as Mishnah Dalet, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalet. In the introduction to this Mishnah, so he lists off the korbanos, the sum total of the korbanos that are offered in the course of Yom Kippur. And in order to truly appreciate this sukkah, so we must dwell on the on those korbanos. Some of them are more familiar, more popular, more famous to us than others. And the information that we're going to mention now by way of introduction will be of importance as we go on throughout the balance of today's shiur. So we make mention of the korbanos that are offered in the case of over the course of Yom Kippur, and there's a technical machlokis between Rebbe and the Rabbanon, so we're going to focus on Shitas Rebbe. There are, first of all, there are two korban tomids. That's the tomid shel shachar and tomid shel bein arbayim. That accounts for two. We're going to eventually want to count up to 15 sacrifices. So the tomid shel shachar and tomid shel bein arbayim figure as two of them. And by the way, those are both korban oilos. In continuing the list, there is the par and isle of the Kohen Gadol, which breaks down as follows. The par was a chatas, was a sin offering, and the ayal was an oila offering. And these korbanos are mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Dezayin Posa Gimel. In addition, there's the soyer and ayal of Bnei Yisrael. And the soyer there, was a chatas, and that soyer was like the par of the Kohen Gadol. We have learned extensively about these sacrifices where their blood was sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we mentioned also an ayal, which was brought as an ola on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Now those psukim are mentioned in, those points or sacrifices are mentioned in Pasuk Hey of Perek Tezayin. So that accounts for two more sacrifices. Up till now, we've mentioned the two Korban Tomids, the two Korbanos of the Kohen Gadol, and these two Korbanos of Klal Yisrael, total of six Korbanos we've mentioned so far. The aisle that we just referred to, which is mentioned here in Sefer Vayikra, in the section dealing with Yom Kippur, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Hey, according to Rebbe, and this is a point of Machloikis, is the same aisle as is referred to in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshas Pinchas amongst the Musafim. So that when we make reference to Parshas Pinchas and we make reference to an aisle, that aisle does not add to the number of Karbonos because they are one in the same. Once again, that's Shitas Rebbe. There are those that disagree, though. We've accounted, as we said, for six Karbonos. We have a balance of nine Karbonos. Where are we going to find them? So they are the Musafim of Yom Kippur, found and featured in Parshas Pinchas in Sefer Bamidbar. They include a par, a cow offering, seven sheep. We mentioned that there is an aisle as well, but that's not figuring in our counting right now. So again, there's a cow, there are seven sheep, and they are the musafim, and they are all korban oilos. And there is also mention of a soyer lechatos. In addition to the soyer that we saw, that Klal Yisrael brought in Perek Tezayin of Sefer Vayikra, there's another soyer lechatos, which is part of the musafim. It's a sin offering, but it's part of the musafim, and it is known as the soyer hanase bechutz. In other words, it was slaughtered, and its blood was not brought into the heichal. It was sprinkled on the courtyard mizbeach. All told, if you were keeping track, there are three sin offerings and 12 ola offerings. When were these sacrifices processed in the course of the day? Turns out to be a machloikes tanoim. We're not going to be focusing on the tomid shel shachar, tomid shel mayim. Those are very obvious when they were offered. And the par and the soyer, which were chatois offerings, and their bloodless was sprinkled in the kodesh kodashim and the heichal, that we've already discussed at great length. What about the rest of the sacrifices? So with that in mind, we continue in the Gemara, we have the Mishnah, im bebigde butz kore, if the Kohen Gadol had read the Parsha while continuing wearing the Kohen linen clothing. We had mentioned in a previous Mishnah that there was an option to him have read the Parsha in personal clothing. But if he continued wearing the white clothing that he had been wearing for the Avodah Seyom, for the incense and the inner blood sprinklings, so at this point, Kidesh Yodav Raglav, he washes his hands and feet, Poshat Yorad V'Toval, he takes off the Big Day Lovan, goes into a mikveh, although he arises from there, V'Nistapig, and dries himself off, V'Viulo Big Day Zov V'Lovash, he was then presented with the golden clothing and put them on, V'Kidesh Yodav Raglav, and another hand washing. V'Yotza V'Osa Es Eilo V'Es Eil Ha'om. At this point, so if you're able to keep track of the number of tevilos, so he had the morning tevila for the Tomid Shel Shachar. He then had a second tevila for the Yom Kippur service, the special incense and blood sprinklings. This would be the third tevila where he's putting back the golden clothing on. He started off the day golden. Afterwards, he went into the white clothing for the inner incense and blood sprinklings. Now back to golden, the third immersion of the day. He now comes and he processes his aisle, and we mentioned that the Kohen Gadol had his own aisle, which was featured in Perek Tes Zayin Posek Gimel, and the Eil Ha'om, and the community's korban aisle. And both of these were Ola sacrifices, and that aisle was featured in Pasuk Perek Tezayin Pasuk Hey. What else? Veshivas Kvosim Temimim B'nei Shana, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, also the seven sheep that are featured in Parshas Pinchas. Those are part of the Musaf. So you have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer presented very clearly here. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Im Tomid Shel Shachar Hoyu Kraven. As opposed to Rabbi Eliezer, who has the seven sheep that were part of the Ola being offered later in the day, at the third immersion, Rabbi Akiva says they were part of the first immersion, the first Tevilah, when he was, after he did the Tomid Shel Shachar, he would do the these seven sheep, Upar Ho'ila, the Soyer Hana Sebachutz Im Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim. The Soyer Hana Sebachutz, we made reference to that, that was part of the Musaf offering, as was the par that was an Ola. The par was an Ola offering, and the Soyer was a Chatas offering, and that was done together with the Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim late in the day. So Rabbi Kiva has, you see, a major machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva regarding the Shiva Kvasim, whereas Rabbi Lezer has the Shiva Kvasim at the third Tvila, Rabbi Kiva has the seven sheep, the Shiva Kvasim, together with the Tomid Shel Shachar. Kide Shelef Raglov, he again washes his hands and feet. That washing then leads to his removal of the clothing, uposhat. He takes off the golden clothing, v'yad v'toval, he immerses himself, v'yolav v'nestapeg, he rises, dries himself off, v'yulo b'day lovan v'lovash, and again puts on the white clothing. These are not the same white clothing. We've learned this much earlier in the Masechta, that the first set of white clothing were worth more than the second set of white clothing that we're featuring now. And after putting on the white clothing, v'kidei shel v'raglof, he washes his hands and feet, nichnas lehoitzi es hakaf es hamachto, he enters the kodesh hakodashim for the removal of the vessels that he had brought in earlier containing the incense and the coals. Here now he's going in to remove them from the kodesh hakodashim. Kidei shel v'raglof, he washes his hands and feet, poshat, yora, removes his white clothing, and the yora v'tavol, immerses himself, olav v'nistapik, dries himself off, evilo, big day, zohav v'lovashin. Now the golden clothing were brought back, and he puts them on. V'kidesh yodav raglov, again a hand washing and feet washing. V'nichnas lahaktir k'torah shel bein harbayim. He now, with his at this stage, this was of course the fifth immersion of the day. He now goes in to offer the daily incense offering of the afternoon. U'lahetiv esaneros, and to light the candles of the menorah. V'kidesh yodav raglov u'poshat. He would wash his hands and feet, remove the Kohen Gadol golden garments, avilo big day atzmo v'lovash, and would put on his own personal clothing. Umalavin oisei ad beso, he would be accompanied till he reached his home. V'yontov hoya oisei loyavov v'shosh yotzo b'sholom min hakodesh, and he would prepare a festive occasion, make a festive day for his friends, for his beloved, on the occasion of his successfully leaving the Mikdash in one piece. Bishalom means in peace. That's P-E-A-C-E. But there's also the idea he left in one piece. He remained alive. We've discussed in the past the danger of messing up with regard to the Yom Kippur entrance to the Holy of Holies. And he who successfully completed the Malach without dying was able to make a holiday out of that. Ibayaloho. Heichi Komar. The Gemara wants to focus on how, or on what did Rabbi Kiva say specifically in the Mishnah. And we have some markings that help focus the discussion in presenting Rabbi Akiva. We were careful not to commit ourselves to Rabbi Akiva's opinion regarding the Par Ha'olah. What we did say emphatically was that the seven sheep that constitute, that are part of the Musaf, that are found in Sefer Bamidbar, so Rabbi Akiva has them as part of the mourning, the first stage of activities done together with the Talmud, or right after the Talmud Shel Shachar, after the first immersion of the day. What about the Par Ha'olah that was mentioned in the Mishnah? How do we read this? Was that done in the morning with the Tomet Shel Shachar, or later in the day? When we say Tomet Shel Ben Arbaim, it doesn't mean literally together with the Tomet Shel Ben Arbaim, but it means later in the day, at the third immersion. The Gemara presents the question with two sides. We call this there's an O-Dilma structure, and then there is a second question and third question that are posed as we go through the Gemara. And on the side, we have as our topic heading the Nosei Machlokes Tanoim Al Zman HaKrovas HaMusafin. We are going to be engaged in as we saw in the Mishnah, a Tanei controversy regarding the offering of the Musaf Korbanos. When during the day were the Musaf Korbanos offered? And under the Mivneh, the structural note, we have this double underline which highlights She'elos Birur, questions of clarification, the inyan hakrovas hakorbanos hamusafim shehuzgru mishnah. When were these musaf sacrifices offered? We continue in the Gemara. Ibay alaho hechi ka'omar. How are we to understand Rabbi Akiva? How did he say? And specifically regarding the par ha'ola. So the first side of the first possibility, im tamid shel shachar hoyu kraven. Upar ho'olo v'sor hanase b'chutz im tomet shel ben arbayim. The first approach says that the seven kvosim, they were offered with the tomet shel shachar, but the par ho'olo and the sor hanase b'chutz, the par ho'olo was a korban mentioned in Sefer Bamidbor along with the sor hanase l'chutz in Bamidbor Perek Chof Tes. Those which were also part of the musafim, by the way. The seven sheep and the par ha'olo sor hanase b'chutz are all part of the musafim, but there's a split here. And according to this approach, only the seven sheep were together with the tomet shel shachar. The par ha'olo and the sor hanase b'chutz, they were with the tomet shel ben arbayim oidilma, or possibly hachikomar im tomet shel shachar hoyu kraven upar ha'olo bahadayu. In this case, the parola swings earlier. It would be together with the Tomet Shel Shachar and the seven sheep as well. What of the Musafim is left for later in the day? V'sar Nasa B'chutz im Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim. And it's the Sar Nasa B'chutz, that was done later in the day. And again, when we say im Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim, it doesn't mean literally with the Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim, but it means at the third immersion, later in the day, relatively speaking. Vesu, another question. Par ho'ilo le Rebbe Eliezer deshairei. If you look at the Mishnah carefully, he, Rebbe Eliezer, who preceded Rebbe Akiva in the Mishnah, he didn't make any reference to the par ho'ilo. He left it out. Shai means he left it out. He didn't mention it. Amos Ovid Le. According to Rebbe Lezer, when was the par ha'olah done? Vesu. And furthermore, Bein Rebbe Lezer, Bein Rebbe Kiva, Emure Chatos, Amos Ovid Lehu. The Emure Chatos are the innards of the par of the Kohen Godol and the Sawyer Lashem. We saw them in earlier Mishnais. Remember, we spoke about the innards being placed into a magus, into a bowl, in order to be offered. As the Gemara made a point of presenting it, the previous Mishnah, in that sense, to be offered. But when? That's the question here. When would the Emure Chatos be offered? Omar Rava. So Rava explains, Lo Mishkachas Lo Matankanto. You won't find a correct or accurate presentation. Ela oy le Rabbi Elazar le Tana Rabbi Shmuel, in order to understand Rabbi Lezer, you'll understand him through the way he was learned in the yeshiva of Shmuel, Oilu Rabbi Akiva ke de toisefta, or as we see Rabbi Akiva, in order to understand any vagueness that we have concerning Rabbi Akiva, which we had. Remember the first question, we have three questions with little numbered diamonds. Question number, diamond number one, we had a vagueness within Rabbi Akiva, where when was the paraola offered? And we will attempt to, we will see clarity with the, what the Gemara just termed the Rabbi Akiva de Tosefta. And we'll see that later. The Gemara now presents these sources on the side under our Mivneh heading, Makoros Shebahen Muvoshitos Rabbi Elezer Rabbi Akiva, sources in which they are presented. And we have little numbers here, and they correspond to the numbering that we saw before. So we had a 2 in the diamond before, wherein we asked Paolo, according to Rabbi Elezer, when was it offered? So here the answer for that is following, as follows. Tetona debe Shmuel. Rabbi Elezer Omer, Yotza v'osa elo v'el ha'om. He finished the Yom Kippur incense offering and the sprinkling of blood in the Heichal. He then immersed himself and came up and went on to do, as we saw, we saw reference to this in the Mishnah, he put on his golden clothing, and he did Elo and El Ha'om. These are korbonos that are featured, Elo is featured in Vayikra Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Gimel, and the El Ha'om, this is a korban ola that is mentioned in Perek Tezayin Pasuk Hey, and according to Rebbe, it's repeated in Sefer Bamidbar. So at that point that he's doing the he goes out from the mikveh and he does the elo ve'elam ve'imurei chatos avol par ha'ela v'shivas kvosim v'sor nase b'chutz im tomid shobein ho'arbayim. They would, according to Rabbi Lezer, would have to wait to much later in the day. And in this instance, so we will say that they would be done, as we say, at the point of the what we call the fifth tevilah, much later in the day. Rabbi Akiva de Tosefta, my he. Reference before was made, if you want to understand Shitas Rabbi Akiva, so look at Rabbi Akiva of the Tosefta. What is that a reference to? Desanya, it is a reference to the following Tanaic source. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Par ho'ilah v'shivas kfosim im tomet shel shachar hoyu kravim. Remember the question before? And the number one that we just have written in helps to tie this back to the original problem. So here it's clear that the Par ho'ilah, together with the 7 sheep, were offered, in fact, with the Tomet Shel Shachar. Shenemar, and the indication of this is the pasuk that says, Milvad Oilas HaBoker Asher Le'Oilas HaTomid. Now, this pasuk is in the context of the Musafim, which is a pasuk that relates primarily to the Sholosh Regolim, the holiday Musafim, but Rabbi Akiva learns from that to Yom Kippur. And the Pasuk says that besides the Oilas HaBoker, which is a reference to, besides the Oilas HaBoker, which came on the heels of the Oilas HaTomit. So the Oilas HaTomit is a reference to the Tomit Shel Shachar. We see from the Pasuk that the Musafim, which is this Pasuk, which is from Sefer Bamidbar, the Musafim were done together with or on the heels of the early morning daily public sacrifice, the Tomit Shel Shachar. So, as we said, we're repeating ourselves now, the Par Ha'Oilo and the Shivas HaKvosim, which were part of the Musafim featured in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshas Pinchas, they were done in the morning. The Acher Kach Avodas Hayom, and following that was the unique Yom Kippur service, the blood sprinklings of the par kli golnus and the sori lashem and the inner ketores offering. The Rashi points out several lines from the bottom. Now this Rashi is going to be very important for the Gemara as it turns till as we continue with Omid Bey. So maybe we'll hold off a moment in the Rashi. We just read in the Tanaic source at the bottom, we read that he then, after the Tomet Shel Shachar and the Musafim, he then did the Avodas Hayom. That was of course in the white clothing, the Achar Kach, with the third immersion, dawning of the golden clothing, Soyer Hanaseh Bechutz, he would do that. Now, even though that was part of the Musafim, even though the Soyer Hanaseh Bechutz was a Korban, it was a Korban Chatos, but it was together with the Musafim that we already made mention of when we spoke about the Par Ha'Oilo and the Shivuk Vosim, this was part of that group, but it was done separately. It was done at the third immersion as opposed to the other Musafim Korbanos, which were done as part of the first immersion. In immersion, we mean the Kohen Gadol's immersion in the mikveh, the tevila that we've referred to extensively. So that we're told here that the Soyer Hanaseh Bechutz was done later in the day at the third immersion. Shenemar, and the posuk that indicates that, it says Seir Izim Echad Chatos Milvad Chatos Hakipurim. The Chatos Hakipurim is a reference to the Soyer Lashem of Yom Kippur. So the posuk teaches us that the Seir Izim Echad, which was the in Sefer Bamidbar, it's the Musaf, the Soyer, this is the Soyer Hanaseh Bechutz, it was done after the Yom Kippur, unique Yom Kippur activities, which were in the second tevilah. After that, in the third tevilah, he does that Soyer, the Soyer Hanaseh Bechutz. So, just to review this point, I know we're sounding a bit repetitious, but these are somewhat difficult ideas to grapple with because there's so many different animals we're discussing right now. So the point we're making is that this series in Echot Chatos, this Soyer that we call the Soyer Hanaseh Bechutz, even though it was part of the Musaf animals, which included the Par and the Shivuk Vosim, nevertheless, even though Rabbi Akiva holds that the bulk of the Musaf offerings were done in the morning with the Tomet Shel Shachar, not so with the case of this Soyer Hanaseh Bechutz, even though it was part of that group as it appears in the Torah. It was done separately in the Tevilah, the third Tevilah. And that's because of this pasuk that says that a series of Echad L'Chatos was done after the Chatas HaKippurim, after the special Yom Kippur sacrifices whose blood was applied inside the Heichal. And then what happens? V'achar kach, Elo V'el Ha'om, which those are the ram offerings which we mentioned in our introduction. Those are Korban Olas. Elo ve'el ha'om are mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Gimel, and Pasuk Hey. V'achar kach emure chatos. We were asking about this earlier. When were the innards of the chatos done? So here we see when they were done. V'achar kach, and then in the fifth immersion, achar kach tomid shel bein harbayim. We continue in the Gemara. My Taimo de Rebbe Eliezer. What is the basis of Rebbe Eliezer? Now, asking that, we should glance at the Rashi. Glance at the Rashi, we want to emphasize Rebbe Eliezer's approach was to have the Musafin done relatively late in the day. And this we saw when we saw the Tana de Beis Shmuel on the lower part of Omid Aleph, the first diamond that you see at the bottom of the Omid. He mentioned that he at the third Tevilah he would do the Elo Ve'el Ha'om, the Emurei Chatos. We didn't emphasize enough when we read that, but there was also his reference to the Emurei Chatos, which was part of our questions before. When were they done? So we saw over there done together with the Elo Ve'el Ha'om. And the Par Ha'ulon, the Shivas Kvosim, and the Soyer Hanaseh Bechutz, as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, they were all pushed off till late in the day at the time of the Tomet Shel Bein HaRabayim. So what's the reason for that? Why, when you learn Rebbe Eliezer, is there no Musaf performance or offering done in the morning, as opposed to Rebbe Akiva, of course? So what's the reason behind Rebbe Eliezer that pushes the Musaf so late in the day? Answer, Ovid Kidichtiv. He follows as the order is in the Torah. Ovid Bereisha, the Torah's Kohanim. First, you perform the korbonos that are featured in Sefer. Torah's Kohanim is a term for Sefer Vayikra. And that includes the Elo, the Elo'om, and the Emurei Chatos. You take care of them first. V'hadar Ovid D'chumash HaPikudim, and then you do that which is mentioned in Sefer Bamidbar. Chumash HaPikudim is another name for Sefer Bamidbar, and that's a reference to the Musafim, including the Soyer Hanase Bachutz. V'Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva, that had the Musafim done, he had the Musafim much earlier. He had them, the bulk of the Musafim were done right after the Talmud Shel Shachar. Kidiktoni Taimo. He says, well, the reason for that is, even though the order of the Torah would seem to indicate otherwise, my reasoning is, as the Pasuk said, Milvad Oilas HaBoiker Asher Li Oilas HaTomid. It said that after the Oilas HaTomid, which was a Tomid Shel Shachar, then the Oilas HaBoiker, which is a reference to the Musafim, would be offered. Alma Musafim Im Tomid Shel Shachar Ovid Lahu. You see from this that the Musafim is done together with the Tomid Shel Shachar. We want to be quick to point out, though, that is exclusive, though, of the Sor Hanaseh B'chutz, which was treated separately. For Rebbe Eliezer, Hai Milvad Chatas HaKippurim Mai Ovid Lei. What does Rebbe Eliezer do with this posuk of Milvad Chatas HaKippurim? Now, we saw this before quoted in the context of Rebbe Akiva. And if you want to take advantage of our markings, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where reference was made to that pasuk, second line from the top, and it was based on that Rabbi Akiva had the Sor Hanaseh B'chutz done at the Tevila Shlishis, whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Sor Hanaseh B'chutz was done as part of the Tevila HaChamishis, the fifth immersion, together with the Tomid Shel Bein Harabayim. So Rebbe Eliezer, that delays the Tzor Naaseh B'chutz to be together with the Tomid Shel Bein Harabayim, Hai Milvat Chatas HaKippurim Mai Ovid Lei, what does he do with that? With that posuk, which, again, was mashma up till now, that the Tzor Naaseh B'chutz is not going to be after the Elo V'El Ha'om. Rashi points out on the side, "Hai milvav chatasipurim de mashma de sora achitzon kodem li elo v'el ha'om." The pasuk itself was mashma that, as we saw, the second and third line from the top in the Gemara text, that the sora naaseh b'chutz was done, and then the elo v'el ha'om. So what does Rebbe Eliezer say about that? When you know that Rebbe Eliezer has the sora naaseh b'chutz done much later. So we turn back to the Gemara. Hahu miboyale, he needs this posuk of Soyer, what the posuk said, Soyer izimechot chatos milvad chatos ipurim. It teaches me hahu miboyale alma sheze mechaper ze mechaper. Now the Gemara itself is very vague. Rashi draws your attention to a Gemara in Maseches Shavuos. And there, you can see the Rashi. Let's read the Rashi together. Amash is emechaper. B'masis perakam di Shavuos dorish lehochi. V'al sheyesh bo yediya b'soif, ein bo yediya b'tchila. This involves a person who violates the rules of Tumas Mikdash, and he is aware only at the end, but wasn't aware beforehand. He wasn't aware that he was tummy when he went into the Beis HaMikdash, but became aware after the fact. So a person like that, Sir Anase B'chutz Mechaper, this Soyer, this Soyer that's featured on Yom Kippur, that's in Sefer Bamidbar, whose blood is sprinkled on the courtyard altar, atones for that situation. Shenemar, Si'ir Izim Echot Chatos, Milvat Chatas HaKippurim. Alma Sheze Mechaper Ze Mechaper. Namely, Ma Pnimi Eino Mechaper. The Pnimi is the Chatas HaKippurim. That was the Soir Hanase Befnim. What does that atone for? It atones Eino Mechaper El Aldover Shiesh Bo Yediyah. It atones only for that which there was some element of knowledge, of awareness. Can afforsh halsam afchitzon eino mechaper. So to the external one is atoning for an element or for a tumas mikdash where there was some presence of awareness, some level of awareness. In discussing the topic of tumas mikdash v'kadashiv, there are more details. There is awareness before going in and then forgetting and not realizing that he was tame, and the opposite case of a person who was unaware at the outset and went into the base of Mikdash and only later became aware. Those are elements, two different kinds of yediyah circumstances. So what we are saying here that is that the Sor HaNaseh B'chutz has the same characteristic of the Sor HaNaseh B'fnim insofar as both atone for tumah, for impurity violations regarding entrance to the base of Mikdash, where there is an element of awareness. Maybe we'll call it partial awareness, but there's an element of awareness. Continuing in the Gemara, here we have a Tanaic source which features two more Tanaic opinions, later Tanaic opinions, as to what Rabbi Akiva, who was earlier, what he had said. On the side, we indicate this under our Nosei, our topic heading, Shnei Deos Tanoim, two Tanaic opinions, Be Rabbi Akiva, within Rabbi Akiva. Zayin Kvasim, the seven sheep, Makriven Osam, Boifin Mechulok. You will see both opinions have this unique approach to taking the seven sheep but splitting them into one and six. How the split is to be actually done, that we see in the source. So we turn to the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Echod Korev im Tomet Shel Shachar V'Shisha im Tomet Shel Bein Harabayim, a total split. The one of the seven sheep is offered in the morning with the Tomet Shel Shachar, and the other six are offered in the later afternoon together with the Tomet Shel Bein Harabayim. Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon Omer Mishmo, he says actually just the opposite. Shisha Kraven im Tomet Shel Shachar, finish the bulk of them in the morning. V'Echod im Tomet Shel Bein Harabayim. And the last one, you love the sheep, you'll do in the late afternoon. Mai tayamayu de rabbonon, what is the basis of these opinions that split, that are mechalik, with regard to the kvasim? So the basis of that is tre kroi ksivi. There are two psukim ksiv. One pasuk says milvat oilas haboiker, from which we learned that the Musafim follow on the heels of the Tomet Shel Shachar. Uksiv, there's another Pasuk that, as far as the Gemara text is concerned, it's not very clear how you see this in the Pasuk, but it says, V'yotza V'yotza Esai Losai, and from this we learn that the Korban Musaf is done later. That is all we're going to say for right now. We've written in that there are certain commentaries that look into this a little deeper, the Rashash and the Muki Hagriv that you can find in the back of many Shas Gemoras. But for our purposes, these represent two different extremes. One has the Musaf done in the morning, and the other has the Musaf done later. Hilkoch Ovid Minayu Hochu Minayu Hoch, and therefore there is this split. We take the Korban Musaf and then split it as we did. B'mai Komifligi. So now, what is the underlying or the basis of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Answer: Rabbi Yehuda, who said, "Do first one and then later six." Sovar Ovid Chad Kidichtiv. You do one, as it says, Milvad Oilas Haboiker. V'hodar Ovid Avodas Hayom, so that with one sheep I fulfill the Pasuk that said, together with the Talmud Shel Shachar, you do the Musaf. So you accomplish that with one of the sheep. Then, without him being worn out, as at this point, it's Yom Kippur, let's not forget. And the Kohen Gadol, he was actually up all night. And we're worried that he might get worn out. So we don't want to wear him out so early in the morning before he gets to do the main part of the day, which is the inner sacrifices, the power and the Soyer Lashem and the Ketores. So we don't want to wear him out. So we have him do the minimum in the morning. Then he does v'hadar ovid avodas hayom, and all of this dilma chulsha cholish kohen gadol, because of the fear of out of the weakness that the kohen gadol might experience, he'll become worn out. So with that, we understand why the other six sheep are done later in the day. And of course there is a scriptural reference for that, as we saw before in the second Pasuk site of Yosef Asasei Losei. So all of this, this division, one in the morning and do the other, the balance, after he finished the Yom Kippur Avodah, is based on this Chulsha de Kohen Gadol consideration. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Sovar, he said six and then one. Kevan de Aschil, once you start something, Ovid Shisha, Dilma Pasha, do the bulk of them, because if you don't do them all until later in the day, he might not finish it off. And as far as the Chulsha of the Kohen Gadol consideration, that you don't have to worry about. The legabi avodas hayom zorisu, that he will be diligent about under all circumstances because of its significance. But as far as doing all of the musafim sacrifices, we're afraid that if you don't get the bulk done in the morning, so then he's not going to finish off the rest. As the Gemara said, dilma posha. Let us glance at a couple of Rashis. First, we'll look at the Rashi relevant to this last point. Dilma posha, v'lo ovid luhu achar avodas yom. He won't do the other kvosim if you wouldn't insist on him doing it early. He won't. If he just did one in the morning, he might not finish off the rest later in the day. Ulamai dechayshes dilma cholish lekolamechash. And as far as you're concerned that by loading upon him to do the six sheep right off in the morning, he might become tired and weak from all of that, don't worry about that. The legabi avodas yom zorazu machliv koyach through. When it comes to the Yom Kippur, the special Yom Kippur activities, there he will find the strength to do it. Renew his strength for that. However, v'kulu musafin lo ovid, but to suggest he does all of the musafin with the Talmud Shel Shachar, that he doesn't do, the Torah's Kohanim Kodim, because after all, the Sefer Vayikra comes first, it comes before Sefer Bamidbor. And Sefer Bamidbor, you have the Musafim, Bitzorach Lekayim, Zu, Vezu, and you have to fulfill both considerations. You have to Seder HaKosuv, Umidroshe HaMikros. Seder HaKosuv is a reason for delaying, and Midroshe Mikros is a reference to the Milvat, Olos HaBoker, Shalos HaTamid. We saw the idea of having the Musaf early. So you have a push-pull situation, and that's why the split. And as far as the numbers were concerned, we explained that as well. Get the bulk done in the morning, so that you avoid Dilma Posha. Let's now continue in the Gemara. Before we do so, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, Eil Ha'om Kamo Hoyu. We made reference to this in our introduction, but now the Gemara touches on this directly. There was a korban known as El Ha'om, the nation's ram offering. Now, there was a reference made to this in the Yom Kippur section, Vayikra Perek Tzayin Pasuk Hei. And there is a reference to an ayal offering, also a korban oila, that's found in Sefer Bamidbar. So the Gemara continues. The Kuli Almo Mihas, meaning Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, both hold Chad Ayol Hu. There was one Ayol offering. It was a one communal Ayol offering. And when we say one, that which was referred to in Sefer Vayikra is the same as the one referred to in Sefer Bamidbar. Keman, this approach is Kerebi. That follows Rebbe, the Sanya Rebbe Omer, Ayol Echol, Omer Kan, Hu Omer B'chumash HaPikudim. The Ayol that is referenced in Bayikra Perek Tezayin Pasuk Hey is the same Ayol that is referred to in Bamidbar Perek Chof Tes Pasuk Ches. Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon Omer Shnei Elim Heim. Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon says, no, they were two separate rams. One that's stated over here in the context of Yom Kippur in Vayikra, in Parshas Achrimos, and the other in Sefer Bamidbar, Chumash HaPikudim, that's Sefer Bamidbar in Parshas Pinchas. My Taimo the Rebbe, what's the basis for Rebbe? Dechtiv Echod. It says Va'ayil Echod Lo'oilah. That's a posuk in Vayikra, Perek Tezayin, posuk Hey. So it says one, and if I'm not mistaken, the word echad also appears in Sefer in Parshas Pinchas. For Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, my echad, what does he learn from the word echad? After all, he said there are two. So echad means miyuchad shebe'edro. It must be the choicest of his flock. For Rebbe Nafkale, Rebbe learns that you must choose the choicest from a different pasuk. Mi mivchar nidrechem. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, having this pasuk which says choicest of your animals for your vow fulfillment, what does he do? Now I have two sources. So he says, yeah, I do. I have the Echad and I have this Mivchar Nidrechem, Chad B'choyva V'chad B'nedova. One is referring to obligatory sacrifices. They must be from your chosen animals, from your choicest of animals. And likewise, voluntary offerings must be from the choicest of your animals. And Utsrichi means, and I have to tell you that by both. Meaning, if I would have told you that for an obligatory offering you have to use your choicest animal, I wouldn't have known that by voluntary sacrifices, and vice versa. I told you by voluntary sacrifices that it has to be brought from the choicest of your animals, I wouldn't have known that to be the case by obligatory sacrifices. Therefore, it has to be spelled out in both cases. And Rashi explains why that is. If we look together at the Rashi toward the bottom, Utsrichi, Shiesh Das Noita, there is room to think, Lomar Nidva, Nidova Mufcheres, that a voluntary offering must be choice. Kadesh Te Mekubelis Brasa, since it's voluntary, it's a type of gift that you're bringing. In order for the gift to be well received, you've got to choose the choice animal. Vyesh Das Noita, there is a logic that tilts in this other direction. Lomar Chova Tehe Mufcheres, that an obligatory sacrifice must be of the choicest animal. Kedei Sheitzi Yedei Chovos Yofes, that you fulfill your obligation in the best way, leaving you room to think that that's when you have something that you're obligated to do, so you have to do it in the best way. But if something's voluntary, yeah, you should be happy with whatever you get. Hence, we tell you, don't think like that, but both cases have to be from choicest of animals. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.